Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 in the Good Beer Seal. We've got a very cool show tonight, September 18th, 2012. We're sponsored by GreatBrewers.com. Thanks so much to you guys. Check out the Beer Cloud and the Great Beer Test when you go to GreatBrewers.com. And thanks to the Good Beer Seal, GoodBrewerSeal.com. Look at the show we have tonight. We got Kirk Struble from 4th Avenue Pub and Carolyn Pincus, the Stag's Head, two key Good Beer Seal bars in New York City. And Ben Wiley of Bar Great Harry and Mission Dolores here to talk about his new bar in Brooklyn. So Kirk and Carolyn, one of the themes on tonight's show is collaborations. And I know there's some cool events coming up. Joe Carroll at Spite and Dival next Tuesday is doing his first collaboration series. And some of the beers that pop out that I always want to try are, there's the BFM Terrapin Spike and Jerome collaboration. And a couple others. He's got Stone Victory Dogfish Saison de Buff. And the Stillwater McKellar Rauk something. I don't know. Star. But there's some really cool collaborations going on. And what do you guys think? Are there some favorites for you? Do you think that collaboration is like the new thing? What is it?
Certainly. I mean, I was down in Florida just last weekend. And we were at a brewery called Seventh Son. And they just did a collaboration with Highland. And I was in Asheville, North Carolina. And was talking to the brewmaster there, in the very small brewery that he works on, and he just, the opportunity for him to brew on a larger system and to be able to do that on a larger scale was fun for him. So you could say all these brewers are kind of having a way for them to kind of expand the horizons, try some new styles that maybe they don't normally brew as a brewer. So yeah, it's definitely
the cool club, isn't it? I mean, yeah. And Ben Wiley's here too. I keep seeing a lot of the same breweries doing collaborations. And Stillwater does a lot. Stone does a lot. And Terrapin, I've never had a Terrapin. I've never been to Terrapin, but they do something with Schmaltz as well as BFM.
Yeah, they did the Beer for Hope.
Has anyone ever been down to Terrapin?
I never have. No.
No. No. Is that in Maryland? I guess it is.
I think it's in Georgia. Yeah,
it's in Georgia.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean we don't. It's, I like collaborations because it's a chance for beers that we can't get in our market to come here.
Certainly.
But I think there's a lot more to it. And you guys just spent some time in Lagunitas. And
we
tell
did.
Us about that, because
yeah,
it's kind
time.
Of about collaboration.
Carolyn, why don't you start out?
Sure. So we actually were part of a homebrew competition that Lagunitas sponsored. They have a fusion series that they do all around the country. And so it was part of, I guess it was to sort of create excitement around Fusion 9, which was the New York collaboration. And so we did a homebrew competition. We chose the wonderfully named Kyler Surface, his beer for the first prize. And so he came out to Lagunitas along with us. And which we brought here, the Fusion 9. So it was...
it's a collaboration?
Collaboration, yeah. We really...
This is the Fusion 9 right here?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. It was a really nice... it was a very casual experience, actually. It was sort of like going into the pantry and like just seeing what's around. And sort of picking and choosing a recipe with Jeremy. Shoot, what's his last name?
I don't remember.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, the brewmaster. He's
from Lagunitas.
That's all whisper on the air.
Yeah.
They won't know. So
will this beer be available for sale?
Well, it's all gone. It was available.
I have a keg left.
Yeah. Oh, I still have a keg at Washington Cummins.
Yeah.
We're about to put it up at BGH and Owl Farm.
Well, there you go.
It's a Bar Great
Harry. I actually hadn't. I'm sorry. Bar Great Harry and Owl Farm. I hadn't even had it yet, so thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. We'll come there and sign autographs too.
Mm-hmm.
We're available.
But, this sounds pretty cool. I mean, you guys are bar owners. You're also homebrewers. Mm-hmm.
I'm homebrew, yeah.
No, I don't brew. I actually just bought, I'm a big fat geek, I just bought my first, like, homebrewer set or whatever online, so I'm pretty excited about it. But I've done some stuff. I've basically just hung out at like Chelsea Brewing Company before and done stuff with them. And I have friends who are homebrewers that I become like their intern in their kitchen while they're doing it. So this was the first experience for me. I know Kirk had been out to Sierra previously for beer camp. So, you know, I mean, it was a it was a learning experience for me completely. But yeah, it was very casual. Just went around. We chose a few hops that they had never used before.
Yeah, we used two experimental hop varietals from Peralt Farms in Washington State. One is the HBC 342, known as the Watermelon Jolly Rancher. And the other one, Kyler was very excited because it was a box that Jeremy from Lagunitas had there that had no label on it whatsoever, no alpha acid, had no stats on it. So he was like, his eyes lit up. He's like, let's use this one. We'll just, you know, throw it in and see what happens. And yeah, we were just going for a nice sessionable late summer. It's actually, until recently, the latest ABV beer that Lagunitas had ever brewed. It's 5.6% alcohol by volume. And so
that's
the perfect amount. Yeah, we wanted to go with that and get, you know, a lot of hop flavor. So it's 50% pale malt, then it's wheat malt, flaked oats, and then the two experimental hop varietals. And then we dry hopped it with Citra. And yeah, we're pretty happy with the way it came out.
Absolutely.
And were there other... Who was represented at this Lagunitas event? I mean, was it just New York bar owners? Was it homebrewers? Was it people from all around the country?
They came and asked us if we wanted to come judge the competition. And literally, we were kind of sequestered in this hotel room in Midtown.
It was clandestine.
The two of us. Yeah. It was Jeff from Pine Box Rock Shop, Bobby from The Gate. Who else was there?
Cowgirl.
Joe from Spite and Dival.
Steve?
There were a couple gals from
Sparrow.
So it was, you know, and we just kind of picked, nice group of people. You know, what beer. There was like four choices for us to, you know, four different brewers that had, you know, kind of were in homebrew clubs across the city, and they, you know, kind of submitted these beers. And you know, they were all great stuff, and we just picked the best, and he got to go out, Kyler, and then they chose us at random. And we'd never met before, and now we're great friends.
We are.
That's what it is. So, wow. But we had a great time. The beer came out excellent.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Ben, have you ever been part of any collaborative brewing or been able to make? I'm sorry, I'm just stumbling drunk. But the opposite. I need a beer. It's always the same thing.
6%
I need my beer. But have you ever been part? We've made beers a couple times at Six Point. Last year we made a beer for Beast. Beer with
signal.
Like six people.
Really?
We made the signal a couple years ago, and then we made something. We had like six people in the room. I guess that's collaborative brewing, but we ended up giving it to the most talented professional brewer around. And we shared stories.
The closest I've come to that is at Bar Great Harry, probably 2 or 3 years ago, we had a Kelso event. And Kelly kind of allowed us to pick ingredients. I think he used his Pilsner as a base, and we can kind of pick whatever we wanted. He can kind of essentially spice it with that. And then he brought over a couple sixels of that. I think we did ginger and honey. Like upstate New York honey, ginger, and maybe one other thing, but it was nice. You know, it's always nice to have a custom beer at an event. You know, everybody digs that.
Yeah, and Kirk, you've also been to Sierra Nevada beer camp.
Yeah, back in December, I got a chance to go to beer camp, and we had a great time out there. It was interesting too to compare the two breweries just on scale. You know, when I got the chance to go out to Lagunitas, but Sierra Nevada was a, you know, showpiece brewery. It's just an amazing place. It's like, you know, we talked about it being like Willy Wonka, but it really does have that kind of like, you know, polished. Everything's, you know, don't drink the fizzy lifting drinks, but it was a great time. We brewed a Imperial Red IPA that we actually brewed with Duvel yeast, which was kind of like the way we kind of made a switch on it, because everyone usually brews with the Sierra Nevada Chico yeast that they have out there. So it was fun to, you know, brew with a different brew. And then I was able to do an event with both representatives, you know, the guys from Duval and the guys from Sierra Nevada. So, yeah, it was a good time.
Wow. Well, cheers to you guys.
Cheers.
It's pretty good. So who wants to talk about this beer? Ben, what do you think about their custom Lagunitas beer?
Well, I like it. It's really good. I'm a big fan of that range, like 5.5%, 6% ABV. It's funny, the more bar owners and people that have been around alcohol for a long time, the more I find everybody kind of gravitates to that, right? Absolutely. In the beginning, you go for the big beers, and then after a while, you go back to these kind of nice, mild, where the details of the beer are really good.
Right.
It's good. It's refreshing. There's definitely a little citrus in the nose. And there's also a little in the best way. There's a little bit of that cat urine kind of
that you get from like Simcoe. We didn't use Simcoe hops, which is
I'm getting a little bit, yeah. But it's really good and real refreshing. Light. There's a creaminess. Mm.
We also used actually a couple pounds of grains of paradise. Nice. That was
really
yeah. How can I forget?
Yeah. So it gives a little bit of like I think like a lavender aroma just on the nose.
Pretty. And Carolyn, what was your experience at Lagunitas? Like, tell us about the brewery and the scene out there.
Sure. Well, I actually took a huge California trip. My first California trip to go see 6 or 7 breweries out there. So it was my first one. It was fantastic, to be honest. It was during the first week that they had just got their new brew house up and running. So that was a really cool experience to see that kind of expansion. It was, I mean, you know, it's everything that Lagunitas sort of stands for. It's very chill. We got there on Friday night. They had arranged for us to go see a bluegrass band outside. It was, you know, I mean, and everything was just super available. You know, we just walk in, you know, take a look around, go to, you know, we basically got to do whatever we wanted.
We had to run the place.
Yeah, we just, we got to hang out.
Like in the middle of the night, we can go to the brew house. And
if we wanted
to. How's our beer coming along?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like, what do you walk around? I mean, is there just beer and coolers waiting for you?
There's a lot of beer everywhere for you.
I mean, they have a tap house there, and we pretty much had free reign.
We pretty much.
Once they figured out who we were, the New York City brewers.
Yeah. Wander around like lost little. Yeah, so, I mean, I had a great time. The people there are very relaxed. Their brew pub is terrific. You know, it's everything that you think Lagunitas is going to be. And you know, and I had that experience actually the entire time I was in California. I went out to Anderson Valley. I went to Russian River. I went out to North Coast and Fort Bragg. Went to where else? Bear Republic. I went to Sierra, which is true. It's like Disneyland for breweries. It's awesome. So yeah, it was, I mean, it was a fantastic experience. Lagunitas really, I don't know.
Do you think the brewing culture out there is a little different than what we have on the East Coast?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's dependent on where you go, of course. I mean, the culture at Anderson Valley, for example, is like complete. I mean, it's just a bunch of cowboys out there. Like, they don't care about anything. They were the first people there to tell me exactly the difference between sustainability and low impact. And, you know, so it does. I mean, it depends on where you go. North Coast is pretty much in the middle of nowhere. So they're out doing all this stuff. We get it here. You know, it seems all like fancy and hard to get and all the stuff. You go there, it's just a tiny little place on a corner, you know, on the coast. So I find that the culture there is just a lot more, they've been doing it longer, they're not as worried about what you think. They talk a lot slower, they move a lot slower. And the coolest thing actually about pretty much all of the places I went to, including Sierra, I mean, when I pulled up to Sierra, I was a couple hours late, and Ken's son, what's his name? Ken Grossman's son was right there in the bar drinking with, I'm forgetting everybody's names. Their director of sales was there, who I met like 3 years ago at GABF and who totally remembered me. I mean, you know, they're all just sitting there chilling, drinking their beer. And same thing with Anderson Valley. Everybody, you know, finished brewing at 5:05, came into the bar, drink their beer till whatever. So it was a, you know, it was a fantastic, fantastic culture, really.
Sounds awesome. Hey, what's the next beer we're going to try? What did you bring, Ben? I think you guys all brought the same beer. Which one was that?
Coincidence. We brought Hops and Roses, both of us. But over here I have Hidachino 3 Days. I don't know if you guys have had this or have heard about it. This is after the tsunami, right? Their brewery was broken up pretty badly. Some of their tanks that they were brewing in got knocked over. Well, not completely over, but were essentially tilted. And anyway, the beer sat in there for 3 days. A little bit of natural fermentation happened. Some wild yeast got in, and they tasted it afterwards, and they bottled up. And there's only 8,000 bottles, and I haven't had it. So we can pop this.
Let's pop that.
Check
that
it out.
That's good. You pop that, and let's try it. What was the first one you mentioned?
Hops and Roses.
So you each brought the same beer?
Me and Ben, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What's Hops and Roses?
Go for it.
This is... you know, I'm not exactly sure why or when this was brewed, but it's fantastic. It's brewed with elderflower and hibiscus and, I believe, rose.
And which is the brewery?
Captain Lawrence, sorry. Yeah, up in Pleasantville.
Elmsford.
Rose
Let's have that first. Let's have the
new breweries in Elmsford.
That first, and then the Hidachino.
Sorry.
So, all right. Yeah. Well, you know what's cool about having you guys on? You're all bar owners. You probably get to try more beers than most people. How do you go about selecting your beers?
I travel quite a bit, and that's one of the things that I like to do is when I go to go to different towns, go to, you know, the local breweries and hope that they come here. You know, I was in Alaska about a year ago, and I went to Midnight Sun, and they're like, oh, yeah, we're coming to New York. So, you know, just the opportunity to, like, go to these different places and kind of sample them before they come into the market. One of the things, you know, and plus it's, you know, beer tourism, I guess, for lack of a better, you know, word. And that's one of the things we like to do. My girlfriend and I, she's really into beer too. Plan out our attack, when we go on vacation based on like what breweries. Like, we went to a wedding in Iowa. We're like, well, how can we move in work in a trip to Three Floyds in the meantime? So we skedaddled down to Three Floyds and then went up to the wedding in Iowa. So, you know, it's just one of the
You're
things.
You're awesome.
I'm gonna hang
out with you, man.
Well, I mean, yeah, come on along. You know, I'll pack you in the bag and, you know, just do it that way. So, all right. But yeah.
And what about at Stag's Head, Carolyn?
I think
a lot of people bring you samples, or
I don't actually do the sampling thing because I don't know. It's more actually from, I mean, speaking of collaboration, it's more from going to other people's bars. You know, and seeing what they have, seeing what people like, and then also, I would say, yeah, and the same thing, traveling. I've traveled a lot around the United States the last couple of years, and so I definitely make the same effort. I plan my trip around, like, which breweries I can go.
Well, tell you, anybody that's been to Terrapin in Georgia, they can call in or they can tweet us at @beer_sessions. I want to know what that brewery is like, because I've seen them in a couple of collaborations, and I like their collaborations.
Yeah.
So if you haven't been, let us know, or whatever you've been. Hey, okay, we're getting warmed up here on Beer Sessions Radio. We'll take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Heritage Radio Network. Woo. All right, we're in it.
Snow by Snowmine on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Good beer. Whether you're a craft beer pro or just had your first sip of an IPA, greatbrewers.com is your number one beer resource on the internet. Greatbrewers.com bridges the gap between the world's great brewers and the consumers who enjoy their products. With so much information and misinformation out there, greatbrewers.com focuses on education and leaves no stone unturned. Take the Great Beer Test on their website and browse through an extensive product catalog. Download their mobile Beer Cloud app, which includes a GPS beer finder, a beer sommelier, and descriptions for over 5,000 different brews. What are you waiting for? Back up that passion for craft beer with some solid information and education. Visit greatbrewers.com today.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio. Thanks to greatbrewers.com, our sponsor, and the Good Beer Seal. All right, here we are at Roberta's in Bushwick on the Heritage Radio Network. Kirk Struble from 4th Avenue Pub, Carolyn Pincus from the Stag's Head. They were just out in Lagunitas in California. And now we have Ben Wiley and his brother Seth. First time on air, first time in public, the third brother. You guys own so many bars, and you got this brother.
We're multiplying.
Ben, Mike, and Seth. Who is Seth? Where have you, like, what's been going? I've never met you, Seth. It's been like 4 years.
Seth fixes all the stuff that Mike and I break.
There's 30, 40, or 50 of us more. So.
But you guys, you're a real family business, aren't you?
We also cook together. We sleep in the same bed. You know, we go for it.
All right. But so you got to have Bar Great Harry.
Yes.
Mission Dolores.
Yes.
And what's the new bar that you opened?
So we just opened the Owl Farm, which is in Park Slope on 9th Street, between 4th and 5th Avenue. It's 297 9th Street. Used to be an old Irish bar over there. We bought it, demoed it, kind of like we've done at the other places, and rebuilt it from scratch. And opened up about 3 months ago. We have 30 drafts, two casks, and 28 CO2 lines, two nitros at the moment. I think we have the largest count over in Park Slope, if you're keeping track. But yeah, pretty much, if you've been to Bar Great Harry or Mission Dolores, you're hopefully kind of familiar with our vibe. We focus a lot on the kind of, you know, the atmosphere of the places more than just the cocktails and the beer. So hopefully it's comfortable. We heavily curate the music, the lighting, the design. You know, we spend a lot of time measuring out like bar dimensions and seat heights and stuff. And we don't just go with the standard things. We really try to make things comfortable. And actually that's a big part of where Seth comes in, because Seth's kind of the builder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's actually been a nice process to work with, my brothers on the bar number 3. So, you know, hopefully it keeps, keeps heading in a good direction, and, you know, keeps being a good place to drink a beer.
So even in the first place, the three of you brothers work together.
Yeah, on and off. I mean, mostly for the past few years, it's been Mike and I here, because Seth was out in California with his family, but they've just kind of come back to the East Coast, so he was much more hands-on with this third one, Owl Farm.
All right.
Yeah.
And if I have never been to Brooklyn, I've never been to any of your bars, what would you tell someone about the Owl Farm? What's different about it? Why would I go there?
Well, I'd say, there's 30 beers to choose from, two casks, and we rotate the beers really heavily, which I know 4th Avenue Pub does as well. Staghead probably does as well. Yeah. So anytime you come in, there's going to be something new, something exciting. We do definitely try to have a lot of weirdo beers. Like, we always have a sour on, which luckily over the last few years have kind of grown in popularity. Still a kind of a niche market, but people are starting to dig it. So we always have something like a sour. We have a lot of the, you know, weirdo stuff out of Norway and Belgium nowadays. Mikkeller, Evil Twin, stuff that is pretty hard to find and is pretty expensive beer. But we do our best to kind of play with the servings and get it out to people so you can really try pretty hard to find stuff. So even now, I mean, the market's kind of crowded, right? There's beer bars every day. We still try to go out of our way to make ourselves different with a really curated selection and good atmosphere. Like I said before, you know, it's almost easy nowadays to get a keg of like Lagunitas WTF or something, right? Where even 5 years ago, it was kind of rare. But to make a comfortable setting to enjoy it in and to hang out and have good bartenders that know what they're talking about. So knowledgeable staff too. You know, the Cicerone. We have all our bartenders do the Cicerone. So people know what they're talking about. You can have samples of beer. We also do an event the second Tuesday of every month at Owl Farm. We do either a brewery event where we, you know, load up the lines with, say, a whole bunch of Lagunitas beers. Or we do, like, custom events. Like, upcoming, we have a pumpkin patch where, you know, for October, we'll do a lot of pumpkin beers, maybe a few Oktoberfests. In December, we're doing Imperial Stout Night. So we have some aged kegs at Bar Great Harry over a couple of years. We'll take those out. Double digits in January, so a whole night of, you know, super big beers. We'll have 4 ounces, 6 ounces, 8 ounces, so you don't kill yourself. So, you know, the detail-oriented take
so
on the beer.
How do you do it with three bars? I mean, you have different beers in each bar. Does one person buy all the beer? Do you have a manager at each bar who's in charge of the beers?
Well, now we have two managers for the three bars. We have Mo, who's a lot of people know. She's at Bar Great Harry and at Owl Farm. She's pretty popular. She handles a lot of those. And then we have Crimson over at Mission Dolores, and she's pretty hands-on with the ordering there. So between them, Mike, myself, Seth, and we have a partner over at Mission Dolores, Scott. It's really a collaborative effort. There's a lot of emailing and CCing that goes on. Should we get this? Should we get this? This keg's too expensive, blah, blah, blah. But everybody's always kind of moving at the same time. And luckily, at the end of the day, we get some kind of synchronicity, and the beer's pour.
And for Kirk, how do you do that, too? Because you're part of more than one bar as well.
Yeah, I have five bars. I do three myself, which is you know, kind of stretching myself a little thin. But and then the other two, I have a partner at the Graham and the Fulton Grand, and he does most of the beer over there. So, you know, I've always told people that, like, finding out what new beers are out there is, like, 10% of the job. Making sure they show up and the right beers show up is the other 90%. I'm sure, you know, Ben will tell you the same, and, you know, Carolyn will say. And that is, you know, that's always the struggle, but it's something I love, and, you know, diving in, and I'm always looking for, like, what's new in terms of, like, you know, what's on the blog, like, what's coming out, what's this, and traveling and that sort of thing. So, but, you know, it's hard to do, but it's a passion. I know that you guys share it.
The ordering and the finding new beers and kind of searching everywhere and getting in contact with everybody, that's kind of the romance of it. I mean, that's a big draw.
Yeah.
You know, especially now with, like, Twitter and Facebook and stuff.
Right.
I mean, it's almost cliche to say social media has a big impact, but it really has. You know, or texting. I mean, just getting texts from people like at Sierra Nevada. I mean, we're here in Brooklyn at Roberta's, and they're texting like, "What?" That's, I love that. That's really cool. You know, or even other bar owners that know each other. Hey, we just got this. Ha ha. Blah blah blah. You got to get it.
You know? What do you do day to day? Because you know, I've known
sleep
you
a lot.
You
walk my
bar
dog.
Great Harry. I've seen you open. Now you're in the third bar.
Yeah.
And you guys, we've been knowing each other for a few years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you doing anything day to day in your bars?
In the bars?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, Seth will tell you about this. There's so many repairs to be done between three bars, you know, or five. I can't, you know, that must be crazy.
You know, if I knew what I know now, like, I would have gone to trade school. I would not have gone to university and got a master's degree.
In
I would have been in trade school.
I know a guy who was a partner in an Irish bar downtown. The smartest thing he did, he went to refrigeration school. Mm-hmm. And that's what he does during the week now.
Absolutely.
I've heard that many times.
Just draft tech in general. It's like, you know.
So a lot of it for me is putting out fires. You know, just not literally, but, you know, just trying to fix everything that breaks. So luckily, Mo and Crimson, our managers, really have everything on lockdown as far as dealing with employees, dealing with customer complaints, arranging parties, a lot of the ordering. But it's really taking care of the problems.
Can I ask? I've always actually wanted to ask you this because I love Mission Dolores. And
oh, thank you.
Are you guys from California? Are you from?
No. Well, so our other brother Mike, who's not here, mm-hmm. He lived in San Francisco for a while, like 8 or 9 years.
Okay.
And so we visited out there a lot. All of us, the family, spent some time out there. So he just has a real affinity for San Francisco, as I do, and I think Seth does. So yeah, it was just kind of like a private joke.
It's not your mother's name?
It's not our mother's name.
I swear to God, I thought your mother was named Dolores.
Really?
Yeah.
Everybody thinks our grandfather's named Harry for Bar Great Harry.
Oh, you should tell that story about Bar Great Harry, right?
That's it's a bar in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I lived in Japan for a while, and Mike would visit me, and we would go kind of bar hopping all the time. And I was bartending at a bar in Yokohama called Windjammer, and right down the street was a bar called Bar Great Harry. And we just hung out there all the time. So anyway, fast forward a few years, we moved back to Brooklyn, and we're out drinking one day, and we're already about to open Bar Great Harry. We're working on it. We couldn't figure out a name, and we're literally in Smith Street just drinking at one of the bars, and he just stops the conversation. He's like, "Dude, let's name it Bar Great Harry." And we both kind of said, "Yeah," because it sounds weird. And
awesome. Hey, let's talk about beers. So
yeah.
You opened for us the Hitachino 3 Days, which I've had as well.
You have?
We all know the story. Yeah, we know the story of the Japanese tsunami and our good friend, Toshi Kayuchi, that many of us have met in New York. This was a special beer. I know he gave it to people who were supportive of him and reached out to Japan after the tsunami last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a special beer. It's also intense.
It's really good.
I mean, it's like some ancient, dark, sour beer. I mean, there's nothing else like it.
Yeah, it's good. It's heavy.
It's like you just turn off the refrigeration and magic happens. Is that what we should all do? I don't know.
It's like everything in Japan, man. It just tastes good. The food and the alcohol and the water and everything over there is just delicious.
And then you guys brought this. I keep forgetting the name of this beer from Captain Lawrence. What is it?
Hops and Roses.
So I'm on to Hops and Roses now. I like this beer.
Yeah.
Sour.
It's a little lighter, sour, refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I brought two sours.
Talking about cool breweries and all that, have any of you been up to the new Captain Lawrence brewery?
I have
not. Yeah. You did?
You have, Kurt?
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah, great space.
How far away is it from Pleasantville?
Not that far. Yeah. Not that far. Great space. They actually have, it seems like they have streamlined the operation in that they have, because the old space, you know, was mostly the bar was like taken up by people coming in and getting growler fills.
Yeah.
So you'd be there and you'd be like trying to get sample. I mean, the thing about it was they had, you can get as many samples as you want. You could just keep on going. So people would kind of use it as a de facto bar and just like hang out there. But people were coming in getting growler fills, that sort of thing. So it was like a little, you know, crowded. But this way they have it where there's a separate line where people just go for growler fills and they have another guy taking care of just the people that are getting samples. And yeah, it's a great space.
Hey, let's raise our glass to Scott Ficarro. He's been on the show a few times.
He's
like his
great
beer.
Guy.
And we'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio.
Listening to Real Long Way to Go by Brothers NYC, heritageradionetwork.org.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
All right. Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We just got some new guests walk in, Ethan and Marcus from Rockaway Beer. Is it Rockaway Brewing or Rockaway Beer?
Rockaway Brewing.
Rockaway Brewing. We've been doing some fun things together. We had an event at the Rockaways 2 weekends ago, and you guys are just starting to branch out. You're only selling in the Rockaways, and now you're selling at Jimmy's Number 43 and a couple other bars too, right?
Yeah, well, we have you, and then this last weekend there was Sunswick in Queens. Delivered a keg to the Queens Kickshaw last night. So they were excited to...
Well, this is the room of all the guys you want to sell to. I mean, Ben and Seth, they own Bar Great Harry, Mission Dolores, and the new... What's it called again?
The Owl Farm.
The Owl Farm. And you got Kirk. He's... Tell us all your bars, because I still don't know how many bars
Fourth Avenue own. Pub, Washington Commons, the Fulton Grand, the Graham, and Amsterdam Ale House in the
Holy cow, that's
And then, Carolyn, you're with us.
The Stag's Head and Cornerstone Tavern.
Yeah, so this is like some serious buying power here. So you guys better expand if you want to sell to us.
Thanks, Jimmy.
The whole reason they're here is about the power of, you know, all these great bars within all these great breweries. And these guys were out in California, and Carolyn was at Russian River and Lagunitas and all these places. But, you know, we really want the East Coast beer scene to rise, and that's why we're pushing for you guys.
Well, there we go. We're two California kids. We're on the East Coast.
Nah. But you guys literally, how many, you're working on what size barrel system?
It's a two-barrel system, so we really have to stay on task to keep beer flowing out the door. So.
And I can promise you that if you order from them, they'll actually deliver it themselves. So, yeah.
We have. And actually, we brought some beer here for you guys today.
Let's have some.
Try. This was,
yeah, we had Captain Lawrence, and now we want to try some of yours. So.
This was a special brew for the Honey Festival this last weekend out in the Rockaways. There was a great turnout, and so we produced a nice honey brew that actually has our hops that we grew out in the Rockaways over this last year. So this was... Put in with our own hops, and then one of our interns flew in. His father was coming in from Iowa, and he brought us off the plane a fresh batch of hops that we went right into the hop rocket as we kegged this. So it has a
nice. So Kirk, you're a tough buyer. I mean, you buy a lot of beer.
Yeah.
Would you just buy local beer to buy local beer, or do you have very high standards?
I mean, I try to have high standards. I mean, but I do buy local beer because I want to support the. You know, that movement, certainly. Amsterdam, one of the things I do is we keep, you know, five lines of New York State craft breweries. So I've done stuff, you know, Ithaca, Southern Tier, you know, the gamut. So, yeah, love to have you guys in. This is very tasty. What kind of hops did you guys grow?
It's wet hop with Centennial hops.
Centennial. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so at the very end when we kegged it, we put
we hop backed it with Centennial.
And all our plants out in the Rockaways are all Cascade. I realized if I started planting different strands, I was going to confuse myself.
Of course,
they'd be all over the place. So the Cascade was the
one. They're hardy too. So
yeah, they grow really fast. Absolutely. And love the beach.
So. It's tasty. It's like a little toasty, bready, but then there's like that little honeyness. What do you think, Ben? I mean, you know, for you too, for your standards, do you just buy on a whim, or do you have a formula? You talk about having one sour and one McKellar line.
Well, we do try to. I mean, with 30 lines, you're afforded the opportunity to kind of have a beer per genre, you know, at least. But no, we do try to definitely get as much local stuff as we can, for sure. I love this beer. This is right up my alley. I like the kind of the real malty, the sweeter side of things. You know, the good malty backbone. It's kind of like. Two Brothers has a beer called Domaine DuPage or Domaine DuPage. Yep. Almost kind of reminds me of that. But I love the biscuity, honey, the kind of warm, sessiony nature of it. This is my kind of beer.
You know, when I opened Jimmy's number 43, it was 2005. I was like three quarters European specialty beers. And now I'm like almost all American beers. But I'm also highly concentrated on local regional beers. So I have Carton from New Jersey, Barrier. I have you guys from Rockaway. And those are the beers that I want to drink. I want like super fresh, really good local beers. And I think it's a revolution because it seemed until a few years ago there really weren't that many really good East Coast breweries. And I know two years ago, out of the blue, Barrier Brewing with like one barrel system won the New York Tap, which meant they were the best brewery in New York State. Two young guys on a one tap system, and it's like the revolution started, you know. So I'm really rooting for you guys, and I want more. I'm actually a fan. You know how beers scale up. I mean, we're like talking about the industry, but I'd rather see more really small breweries because I feel like you guys put your love into it and the small ingredients. And even with the specialty imports, you know, I feel like once people scale up, you lose something. What do you guys think about that?
Well, before we get to that, I was going to say it was really nice this last week, your event out in the Rockaways with having Barrier there and Carton. I got to meet them. So I just wanted to give you a congratulations on the event because that was great to be part of. So.
I'm glad you guys came. Thank you. There was a tornado also.
No, I think, Jimmy, the freshness part of it is a big part of it for me. When we started brewing our beer and kegging it, it just felt and it tasted so fresh. And when I'd have another beer at a bar or something, I thought, where has this beer been? It's been in a truck. It's been in a storage facility. It's come across the country. Making your own beer and drinking it locally that's the real experience. We made this beer, you know, 10, 12, 15 days ago. So it's, you can taste it.
Yeah. And have you guys, any of you tried Rich Buchetta's beers yet? He's a single cut beersmith. He's going to open in Queens in Astoria this fall. He'll be another licensed brewery in New York.
Have not.
You have never met him? He's been an award-winning home brewer who's also stepping up. And he actually has like a larger facility. He's going to have a bar and a music area.
Yeah, I've certainly heard about him. And I know he wants to stay, you know, just in Queens, and that was like his big thing, you know, coming in is like he wants to stay just there. But yeah, looking forward to it.
Well, Kirk, what's cool about you? It's you know, where you got brewers and bar owners, but I never knew how many bars you had. I mean, you walk the walk. Like I think of you as Fourth Avenue Pub, and I think you have high standards for your beer, and I really respect you, man. So
thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
Cheers.
And Carolyn too. We first met a couple years ago. You were at the Stag's Head. You guys were interested in the Good Beer Seal. And you guys have been, you don't even remember.
I don't remember how I
went. But you know, you've and tell us about Stag's Head. Like what are some of the standards you have for buying beer at Stag's Head?
Absolutely. Well, we do try to keep about 70-80% of the line regional for sure. We actually just did a 14 line event with Barrier last week or 2 weeks ago, and yeah, the freshness is, I mean, it's key. It's you almost can't. It's a different standard, I guess, you know, when you're trying the beer. So we do, I mean, I think what sets us apart is honestly the neighborhood. I mean, we're on 51st and 2nd Avenue. There's not a whole heck of a lot of bars doing rotating draft lines. So that's pretty big. And then as far as that, you know, I really just try to get out as much as possible, go to different bars, see what other people are drinking. We do a lot of customer feedback. We do like customer cards and lots of stuff on Facebook. Actually, speaking of collaboration, we just did, we have been really randling beers a lot lately and, you know, getting people on Facebook to give their, you know, ideas for ingredients and all that stuff to randle beers and, you know, just trying to stay interactive and with our neighborhood and, you know, people in Turtle Bay that really are looking for that, that it's not quite as easy as out here in Brooklyn. Y'all are spoiled.
Well, you guys are from California. Carolyn, you're out there.
Yeah, I'm from California.
Visited some great California breweries. What are some of your favorite California breweries?
I weren't prepared for this. Oh, Anchor Steam. All the Northern California, Mendocino has some great breweries. I mean,
where in California are you guys from?
Bay Area.
Oh, cool. I'm from Davis.
Okay, well, that was grew up just north of there, outside of Sacramento, where? In the foothills.
Oh,
right,
cool.
As you head up towards
awesome.
Grass Valley. And
there was... Have you guys been to Russian River Brewery?
Mm-hmm.
What is it like? I mean, you were just there. Tell us about Russian River, because I want to hear about this. It's a cult beer. I love the beers. Don't know anything about it.
Well, it's, I mean, it was amazing. You know, I called... You know, I was like, you know, I'm really interested, blah, blah, blah. Some bartender just answered and was like, yeah, sure, I'll take you around, whatever. And so, you know, middle of lunch, some, you know, the bartender comes up, oh, you're the girl that called, whatever. Went back. They just acquired a cool ship that I got to see. That was pretty neat. I mean, it's really, really laid back. You know, it's you walk in, there's a couple of guys, dreadhead guys in the back brewing. Just, you know, giving
did
out
you
beer.
Meet Benny?
I didn't, you know, I didn't really plan ahead.
What is a cool ship? What's that?
A cool ship is the, it's a very shallow sort of pool that you, I'm not exactly sure how it works exactly, but it's a way to spontaneously ferment. Yeah. It's big in belt. What's that?
It's like what Cantillon has.
Cantillon has
so
that.
It's like a low open fermentation container.
And
like Anchor Steam too.
Ben, you know what it is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it allows for
and like around here
to just naturally fall in.
You know, Peekskill is going to make one in the Hudson Valley. Allagash also does.
Allagash has one. Yeah.
I don't know if Captain Lawrence has a cool ship.
No. I think it's really just Allagash, Russian River, the only two in America that I've... Peekskill's getting one. Okay.
So it allows you to use natural yeasts.
Exactly, yeah.
Fermentation.
Yeah, it's an awesome room that they have back there where they're barrel aging some of their beer, and then the cool ship is back there too. So, you know, it got to geek out.
It's kind of like, I guess it's like Charlotte's Web, you know? You don't want to mess with the spiders.
Very much so. It's very much like that, yeah. So, and then, you know, the food was terrific. All the staff is super well-informed, very present in service. You know, Russian River was a great experience, for sure.
Well, I tell you, it goes back. Ben, you brought in the beer. You brought in Hideshino 3-Day. Our friend Toshi Kayuchi in Japan. Hello, Toshi. It turned off the power, and he made an awesome beer. And that's kind of what a cool ship is, too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, funny things. Well, making, you know, lemons to lemonade, right? You know, something bad happens, something good comes out of it. So
you said you almost always have a sour beer on.
Yeah,
tap.
We like. I mean, actually, my brother Mike, he's always been a sour fan, just personally. I'm not so much. it's growing on me. But anyway, he liked it personally. So about 3-4 years ago, when they first started becoming regularly available, we started trying to offer it at Bargrave Harry more often. Then that kind of started working. So at Mission Dolores, we, again, put them in a little bit more and more. And so with Owl Farm, we just figured, screw it. We'll do a line all the time. And they're moving, you know. And luckily, you know, the kegs are kind of smallish, so you get a good rotation. And it's such a niche market. People that love it, love it. You know, and you get guys that'll come in every 2 days. Oh, you have a new sour up, you know, and they just, you know, they drink those. So it's cool. You know, it's another, you know, good thing we get out of the beer scene growing. You know, I mean, more and more really local guys like these guys, things like sour beers getting popular. I mean, even 6 years ago, 7 years ago, if you said you could have a sour line, I mean, you know, come on, that would not have happened. So,
and people were afraid that then your line would stay sour forever or something. I mean, there were these people didn't really know. But
yeah, absolutely.
Well,
that's why you keep it on the same line. So just
another time, I'm going to have you guys back, and you're going to talk about how you keep your lines good and your beer good, because this is like an awesome group of beer bar owners. I'm going to tell you about Mission Dolores. If you're ever in Brooklyn, last summer I spent a time in South Jersey in the summer, and I always have to come back and forth to work. And I hitched a ride with my friend's friend. He's like a crazy Croatian badminton player. And he was going into Brooklyn, and I said, let me off. And I texted ahead to Ben, and I said, where's Mission Dolores? I'm dying to go here. So I got let up in front of Mission Dolores. I sat at the bar for 3 or 4 hours, and it was like the best night of my summer. So
I remember that night. I remember you getting texted.
Yeah.
Actually, I remember
was
calling
that your
the
manager,
bar.
Crimson?
I remember calling the bar and be like, Jimmy Carbone's coming in.
She was a top server. I had a great time, and the beer selection was awesome, and You know, I knew it was going to be good, but it was really super special. So I traveled 3 hours to go to your bar.
Good beer and good bartenders.
Yeah, that's never
a good
before.
Combo.
So
good combo. Thanks.
Definitely worth it. So everyone in this room, it's an awesome crowd. Just do a quick talk around about what you're doing. Ethan and Marcus, what's next for Rockaway Brewing?
Well, we're just finishing out Growler Station, so we're going to start selling growlers later this week. We have limited hours because we're only there brewing certain days. But that's what we're really working on is opening up.
And then where is it? It's in Long Island City in Queens.
It's 5th Street and 46th Avenue, right behind the big Pepsi sign.
All right. So I want to refill your growler. And Ben, tell us about what's going on coming up soon at one of your bars or all your bars.
Well, tonight, actually, right, well, at 7 p.m., which might be right now, I'm not really sure, at Mission Dolores, we're having an Avery event, which my brother Mike was busy tapping all the beers this morning, so that'll be pretty fun, and we can all go over there after this if you want. And at Owl Farm, like I said, this second Tuesday in October, we're going to have our Pumpkin Patch event, which will be a whole bunch of local pumpkin beers, a few Oktoberfests, and then on the second Tuesday of November, we're going to be having our, what is that, New York versus New York night. So that's super local, obviously, where we
What
pick.
Is it, New York?
New York versus New York. So it's just kind of, we pick, like, we go by genre. We take, like, two different IPAs, both brewed in New York, kind of have a versus on them, two different stouts, two different this, two different that. So we kind of just take all our lines and do that. So maybe I can talk to these guys afterwards, and we can get them on the lineup.
That sounds like a great event. Yep. And Seth Wiley, the new brother, just say hi.
Yeah,
and
man.
You happy to be here?
What's up, all the beer people?
Hey. All right.
Yeah, man. Nice to meet you. Come on in.
All right. What's the name of your new bar?
It's TOF. It's the Owl Farm. And it's basically 9th Street and 5th Ave.
It's going to take me like 3 weeks to figure that, remember
yeah,
that
well,
name.
Yeah. We'll give you some love.
Just you guys keep moving fast. Like I'm really proud of you. All right. And Kirk, anything going on with your establishments?
Yeah, we have a great event tomorrow night at Washington Commons that we do in collaboration with Bitter and Esther's, which is a homebrew shop right down the street on Washington Avenue. It's called the Brew Like a Pro series. They brew a batch of beer based on a recipe. They're doing Lagunitas Hop Stupid, which they did earlier in August, and then we put the actual beer on draft, and then we also serve the clone beer, so you can compare and contrast the two.
Is that with Tim Stendel?
That's Tim Stendel.
He's one of the great Brewers.com guys.
He is a hardworking gentleman.
Very Tim good. Stendel. And Carolyn Stagshead, anything coming up?
Yeah, we're doing actually twice a year we do a full beer pairing menu for Oktoberfest and Mardi Gras. So Oktoberfest, September 25th, we're doing 5 courses we're doing Southern Tier, Left Hand, Dogfish Head. So we're doing that. And then October 17th, I'm actually pretty stoked. We're doing a couple of collaboration beers we're getting on draft from them, plus their 16th anniversary. I think it's a rye. Oh, God. It's the Ruination, it's, you know. Plus.
From Schmaltz.
Yeah. No, from
no.
Stone.
Yeah. Stone, yeah.
So
oh,
it's
going
to be...
I don't have any beer knowledge.
It's going to be... Yeah, I know. So, yeah, we're doing that Stone Night October 17th. I'm really looking forward to that one.
All right. And what was the name of the Lagunitas beer you guys worked on?
Fusion Night.
I really liked that. I'm glad you brought that. I really loved all the beers tonight. Thanks, everybody, for bringing them. Also, a couple other events. Spite and Dival Tuesday, September 25th. It's a collaboration event. The whole bar is about collaboration beers. Whenever Spite and Dival does an event, you have to go because they really do put together the best stuff in New York, and I'm a big fan of them. They're also a good beer seal bar. The Brazen Head is now hosting Higher Learning Tuesdays. Everyone's doing Tuesday tastings. Jimmy's number 43 does Tuesday tastings. Everyone's doing Tuesday tastings. It's a good night to go out in New York City. Again, check out goodbrewseal.com. We are proud to support the October 6th Village Voice 2nd Annual Brooklyn Pour. If you like big beer festivals, this is one of them, but I think it's pretty well run. We do like those guys too. And our friends on Staten Island are getting ready the Richmond County Craft Beer Festival at Kilmeyer's Old Bavaria Inn on October 7th. And we're going to give a shout out to Ken Tirado. He's a new Good Brew Seal bar owner. He's got a really great place. It's the farthest point in New York. You want to get in a car and drive, go there. It's a special old German pub. It's coming up October 7th at Kilmeyer's Old Bavaria Inn. I don't know how to contact him, but he says just look for Kilmeyer's, Google it, because Kent is a really awesome bar owner. He's got one of the oldest beer systems that I know of, where it's just like copper tubes kind of drawn by air. You know, he doesn't have like fancy, you know, gas systems and all that stuff. I mean, it's really, you have to go. If you haven't been, have you ever been to Kilmeyer's, Ben?
I have not.
You have to go and meet Ken Tirado. He's really a legend. He had opened originally Adobe Blues in Staten Island. He's been running beer bars for over 20 years. Real gem of New York City craft beer culture. All right. And anyone else on the list? I think that's it, but always check out Good Brazil. I love everyone in this room. It's really been a great experience doing the show. Every year there's new people. We've got the Rockaway Brewing guys now. You know, our friends Bargrate Harry, Mission Dolores are expanding. You know, Kirk Struble, 4th Avenue Pub, Carolyn from Stag's Head. It's a really great beer scene in New York. I'm really proud of it. You know, 3 or 4 years later, it's so different than it was. And it's, there's a lot of great places to get beer. But I will say this, there's still a lot of places where you're getting draft and not craft. So really try to stick up for your craft breweries and go to the good craft beer bars. So I'd like to thank our sponsors, greatbrewers.com, who do help to bring really good craft beer to you and the Good Brazil. Thanks to Carolyn, Kirk, Seth, Ben, and Marcus for joining me here with Ethan too on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee, Brie O'Connor. And tonight, Jack Inslee's an engineer. Go for it, Jack. Thanks for listening, and next time on Beer Sessions Radio.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.